Yes, but our viewers don't need to know that, Hush Mama.
That's true.
Well, it's too late.
Snitches get stitches.
Well, at least I'm not recovering from heroin.
What?
So, cat's out of the bag, Hush Mama.
I fucking hate you.
Navigating your way to flexing in Korea 101. What's up, Hush Mama?
What's up, Shin?
So that's our topic today.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this one because I'm sure we all know. I mean, we probably do it ourselves. The art of the humble brag or the humble flex.
Full disclosure, we're going to be talking about the humble flex, but this whole episode is us humble flexing. Like, let's be real. Our whole podcast is humble flexing.
Are we? No, I mean, we're going to be shitting on other people. But
let's be honest.
We're guilty of it as well.
Yes, we are.
No, but that's what we're going to be talking about. What is the fine line between like acceptable humble flexing and then when you're just being fucking annoying? You know what I mean?
It's true. And that's why it really is an art. Because you can't not do it.
Yeah.
And it's also, like you said, very annoying when you do it very poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that's one thing
or
I want
to... blatantly.
Yeah, blatantly, obnoxiously, consistently, constantly.
Okay, you're just... Okay, we get it.
Okay, I'm finished. So I guess what I want to say is, in Korea at least, you do have to humble flex. Because if you don't do any humble flexing, people assume you're nobody. And this is kind of like a sad truth.
See, that is an interesting take because I've never once thought that. But it's also not because... It's also because I never, you know, thought about it that way. So can you elaborate?
Yeah. So let's say I'm meeting a Korean for the first time. And, you know, you go through the intros and...
Gotta mention your age.
Yeah, you'll talk about your age. Mm-hmm. And then they'll ask, oh, like, what do you do? And, you know, of course, people want to be... respectful, and they don't want to ask like too many detailed questions like, oh, where do you work, like what type of position do you have, how much do you make, what type of education have you received.
But people do ask those questions too
sometimes. There are some people that do ask it directly, but generally people will try to ask a general question and then they expect you to humble brag.
Right.
And if you don't humble brag when someone asks you these general questions in a polite way, they assume that you don't have much to share, and therefore you are being vague, and therefore you are being general.
I kind of do get that a little bit, but I want to expand and say it's not just something maybe in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, it might be the opposite, because when I lived in the States and people right off the bat introduce themselves like in such a big, flashy way, it's like, that guy's not cool, or that girl's not cool.
In the West, though.
Yeah, so I guess it's kind of the opposite here. That's pretty interesting. So how do you introduce yourself?
But before I talk about how I introduce myself, can I give you like an example?
Yeah.
For instance, let's say I am a senior engineer at Google, okay? And in the West, a friend would say, oh, so like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, like I'm an engineer at an IT company. Like, that's a very reasonable answer to give to someone
in a first introduction.
Yeah, in a first introduction. And you could be like a senior executive at Google or a senior engineer at Google. But in Korea, if I meet someone and say, oh, I'm an engineer at an IT company, they'll be like, oh, so this person, first of all, there's two things that just happened. This guy didn't tell me which company he worked for. He said IT company. And in Korea, IT company is so broad, so general, they're just assuming like, oh, it's probably some small enterprise. Exactly. And also, he just ended it there. So he said, oh, I'm just an engineer at an IT company, and didn't elaborate.
Right.
And so the average person in Korea, I think, this is just my personal opinion, would think, oh, I think he doesn't want to share anything more.
Because he has nothing more to share.
Exactly.
I kind of get that. I do get that vibe from people sometimes. And then but I've also been in situations where there are first introductions going on. And then if somebody gives a vague answer like that, it doesn't fly. They'll be like, what IT company?
Sure. Yeah, for sure.
Where?
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen like an Korean setting, because, you know, our culture is, how do you explain it? It's like chong, right? that sense of closeness that you feel even with strangers, like you feel...
Trying to explain Cheong is a whole episode in and of itself.
That's true. Yeah. But basically, it's like when you maybe as a culture, not even a culture, but you feel...
It's familial.
Yeah, it's familial.
Yeah.
So you feel like you can ask these questions. Like, yeah. For example, if I'm... my shoelaces are untied and I'm walking down the street, there would be like 15 people telling me to tie them because I'm going to trip.
Right.
Whereas when I lived abroad, nobody gives a fuck if I trip or not.
In Canada, people say it a lot.
Because Canadians are really nice.
Yeah.
So Canadians are, you know, full of Cheong as well. But I mean, okay, I digress. Back to first intros. How do you introduce yourself?
Honestly, I try to keep it as simple and as vague as possible. It's a habit that I've always had, and that's why I'm noticing people kind of judge you if you don't.
Oh, you mean
if you aren't a little bit more specific?
So you've personally felt like people low key look down on you
for
when
sure.
You kept things really vague?
For sure.
But you actually have so much to share.
Yeah, don't mean to brag, but let's be real. I can write a book about it.
Okay.
Just kidding. So I think that's kind of unfortunate. For me, it's a little bit sad. That I have to lay it out in the first few minutes of meeting somebody.
I don't know if this is relevant or not, but a similar thing that I felt here is that... So I, as you know, Shin, I have a lot of side hustles. So I have a main job and I have like 3 to 4 side hustles that
she
do,
does have
that
a lot
I
of
do.
Side hustles.
Yeah, because I'm a hustler.
She's a hustler.
So I freelance, I translate, I do a bunch of shit. And... basically, when my Korean friends hear about it, they think it's because I'm really struggling hard financially.
Yeah.
And they always tell me, oh my God, like you need to get a job where you make enough money at your main job so you don't have to have all these jobs on the side. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm actually not struggling financially. I just like doing different things.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm the type of person where I'm super lazy at my core. So if
aren't
I'm
we
not,
all?
Well, I feel like I'm even more lazier than most because the minute I have nothing to do, I'm just... you know, I get lazier the less I have to do.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
And for me personally, I feel so much more energized when I'm free, when I have that much more work. Mm-hmm. But anyways, that's another thing. When I say, yeah, I'm doing these different projects, I'm doing that. And then they'd be like, oh my God, you're struggling. And how much are you making? Because it's clearly not a lot.
Yeah, that's
and
very true.
I feel like it's somewhat similar to what you're saying, where the less you say, they assume it's because you have nothing more to share.
Yeah.
And then when you're like, oh, I work a lot, it's like, why do you have so many jobs? Are you struggling?
Yeah. I actually have a related thing. When I tell my Korean friends that I had a part-time job in high school or in middle school, they're like, oh, like your family must have like... Okay, they don't say that, but...
No, but they do.
Yeah,
oh,
because
yeah,
alba,
I get that.
Like
yeah,
part-time
I
job
that.
In Korea is like, oh, like you should be studying when you're a student, when you're high school or
yeah.
middle school. Like, why did you have to have a part-time job?
Because here, it's like your parents pay for everything up yeah. until... Well, for the most part, obviously I'm not generalizing... There are so many people who alba during high school, but
exactly.
if your family is considered comfortable, you won't have to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you
while
focus
you're,
on your studies.
Yeah, you focus on your studies.
Whereas in the West, even super wealthy people, they would make their kids get a part-time job
mm-hmm.
For experiences and work experience.
Yeah, so I guess there's different things. I definitely know what you mean by that. But yeah, even when I introduce myself... I am, as you guys will all find out, I'm a very TMI type of person.
So TMI.
Yeah. So like, but only once you get to know me. But in general, when I, during first introductions, I do like keeping things very simple because, you know, I like creating an air of mystery.
Yeah, it's true.
That's not actually why. It's just because I feel super weird talking about myself to people that I don't know.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, especially like personal details. But yeah, basically what I say is like, oh, I work at a marketing agency.
Yeah. Actually, to touch on what you said about air of mystery,
uh-huh.
if I'm being completely honest, I personally think that the air of mystery is kind of cool. So in my kind of, I guess, more westernized view, mm-hmm. I think not telling everything about yourself when you first meet is mysterious and therefore a little bit cool.
Mm-hmm.
As
opposed to, oh my God, this is my whole life.
Exactly. So I can't say that I like to be simple and vague or just keep my introduction short because I don't want to talk about it. I have to admit that there is a bit of that kind of mysterious persona that I think is kind of cool.
Yeah. So, okay. How about this? What do you consider subtle humble flexing? Or something that's not subtle, because we did mention blatant humble flexing that's fucking annoying.
I think subtle... Oh, this is really hard. But when you're subtle flexing, you would have to drop... You would have to name drop here and there.
Oh.
Like if you're working for an impressive company, you would name drop the company in a subtle way, or but maybe not by talking about the company exactly.
I think that's the key, just name dropping like ever so subtly.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm working on this project with this, you know, people. Or you can talk about your background in a very subtle way, like, oh, like when I was a student back
in Switzerland.
In Geneva.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, like, I feel like those are totally fine.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh, this cheese, oh, reminds me of that time, you know.
I was vacationing in Nice. Like, I don't know. Yeah, those are fine. I don't get annoyed by those at all. And that kind of reminds me of, I dated this one guy. Mm-hmm. He was super American.
Yeah.
And he had never really left Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that was fine. And I was super international.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just talk about my life. And so would he. Like, for example, he would say something. I'm making it up because I actually don't remember much about that relationship. But
burn.
No,
if you're listening, she does not remember.
No, it
you.
Was my shortest relationship. So he would say something like, oh, during every summer, we would go to my grandpa's farm, for example.
Yeah.
And then I didn't grow up in the States. I didn't grow up in, you know, where there's so much, I don't know.
You moved around a lot.
Yeah, I moved around a lot. So obviously I would have different experiences. So I would say stuff like, yeah, my family, we went to Thailand every winter for holidays. And
humble
then
humble flex alert.
It's not even humble flexing, though.
I'm just joking.
Okay, because I grew up in Hong Kong, and the flights from Hong Kong to Thailand are mad cheap, especially during winter. So anyways, it's honestly the same price as if you flew from, I don't know, New York to, I don't know, Boston.
Some people have never been on a plane before.
Okay.
Or left the state.
No, so I'm trying to say it's not something that's super impressive.
I'm just pulling your leg, okay?
Okay, let me...
Yeah,
please
sorry.
Let me finish. Okay, so anyways... I would say stuff like that, and he would say, it honestly sounds like you're showing off. And I'm like, I'm not showing off. These are just my experiences, and I'm just sharing.
Yeah.
Because it was relevant. It's not like out of nowhere. You know, we were talking about, oh, what we did, where we went for holidays when we were kids. And he was like, oh, I would go to like South Carolina or mm-hmm. whatever. And I'm like, America's a big ass country. You
it
traveling around America, that's like the same thing as me traveling around Asia.
And probably more expensive.
Exactly.
Like just driving across several states and gas money is probably more than a plane ticket.
That's the thing. So I guess it depends like who's listening. Because for me, I was for sure not flexing or humble flexing. But to him, it was.
For sure.
Or like when he talked about a country, like, oh, I want to go there. I'm like, oh, I've been there. And he's like, you're showing off again. And it's fine when you say it to me because I love you, but it might be really fucking annoying for other people. And that's when I was like, yeah, no, thank you. Next.
Wow.
I mean, there were other reasons, but you get it.
Thank you. Next.
Okay. But what about when other people do it? How can you smell bullshit?
Bullshit, like a bullshit flex?
Yeah. Or it may be true, but it's just they're just clearly doing it in a way that's bullshit.
So do you mean that they are lying about what they're flexing about, or just kind of like...
Maybe they're exaggerating a lot.
Yeah.
Or they're... It's not even... Like, they're kind of disguising it in a humble flex, but it's clearly not humble. It's just straight up bragging.
I see what you mean.
And it's like not even relevant to the conversation. It's just like, okay, you're... This is bullshit. I smell bullshit.
Yeah, they'll just talk about things, like you just said, that's not really related to what you guys are discussing, or they'll add details. For instance, you know, if you talk about... actually, this is kind of related to your story that I know you have, so why don't you share first? Because I don't want to steal your story.
I have so many, but I will share about this one friend I have. We're not super close, but basically, this is... a very good example of what I think is a BS humble brag. Like, you're trying to be humble about it, but clearly you're not. It's, you know, pretty blatant. But for example, my one friend was like, she didn't have a driver's license for the longest time, and she finally got it. And then she practiced enough. And she kept saying stuff like, oh, I'm practicing so that we can go places and I could drive you guys around. I'm like, okay, that's great. I wouldn't get into a car with you until you feel confident about it. So she was really excited. She shared with us. She was like, I'm finally ready. And my dad said that I could borrow his car. Like, he trusts me enough to take his car and then we can go places. And then I was like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. And then this girl goes, not the friend with the license, but the humble bragger. She goes, oh my God, my dad was going to buy me a G-Wagon, but he didn't.
I love G-Wagons. They're sexiest cars.
Don't get me
on
wrong.
The road.
I agree with you 100%. Not maybe the sexiest cars, but...
So sexy.
It was not relevant. She was just talking about how she practiced her driving enough that her dad trusts her to borrow his car. She didn't... It maybe would have been relevant if she was like, my daddy's buying me a car. But then
this
other girl
driving.
Goes, oh, my... And, oh, wait, I didn't even fully share what she said. She was like, oh, my dad was going to buy me a G-Wagon. But then instead, I chose to drive this shitty-ass Hyundai that I have. Because she has a Hyundai vehicle. And I'm just like...
The pride and joy of Korea, by the way.
I'm like... Did Hyundai pay you to say that?
We might be sponsored, full disclosure.
No,
new
but
2019 Hyundai Sonata.
Okay, shush.
Coming to a dealer near you.
Shin.
Yo, we get paid for this. They're going to cancel our sponsorship.
That's true. All Please right. continue.
No, I'm sorry. We're done.
No, you made me forget my train of thought. No, just kidding. I remember. So she was like, my shitty ass Hyundai. And then me and the other girl was like, oh, okay. And then we moved on. And this is how I smell bullshit when the conversation doesn't flow naturally. Like, the bullshit humble bragger always tries to bring it back.
There's a tangent.
Yeah, no. They always bring it back because they're not done. Because they want to, like, talk about stuff, you know, to their heart's content. And when people just move on, they're like, oh, shit, I didn't show off enough. I need to bring it back. And this is what happened exactly in this conversation. So we moved on from that. And she was like, seriously, my dad was like begging me to take this G-Wagon. And I was like, Dad, no, I don't want enough. Like, I don't want that kind of attention on the road. Let me drive this shitty Hyundai. I'm not even exaggerating. That's what she said. And then me and the other girl is like, oh, well, okay,
clearly you do want the attention because you're talking about the G-Wagon right now.
And then, no, I was just like, your Hyundai's not shitty. It's a good car. And, you know, that's just...
They are great cars. 2019 Sonata. Fully loaded.
It was a Santa Fe.
Santa Fes are also great.
No, but anyways, we, you know, moved on again and she kept bringing it back. And then we just straight up ignored her because we were like, okay, bitch, you're done. You want to show off about your daddy's money. Like, do it somewhere else where when it's relevant.
Yeah, when you guys are talking about picking out cars.
Yeah.
And not talking about driver's license.
And then, funny story, same girl.
Same bitch.
Same biatch. No, we were... no, why am I saying we? I was moving.
Yeah.
And I was like sharing with a group of coworkers. I was like, yeah, I'm going to move, blah, blah, blah. And then she wasn't even part of the conversation. And then she was like, oh, my dad was going to buy me an apartment. that was big, but I'm just stuck in this shitty 1,000 square foot home. And then everyone was like, 1,000 square feet's pretty good, like, especially in Korea.
Which is exactly what she wanted to hear.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're like, that's pretty good. And, you know, that's a decent. And she was like, no, my mom came in and she was like, how can you breathe in this rat hole? My mom was like, this is a rat hole, girl. You need to, like, move to a bigger home. And then me and my friends were like, okay, like, what do you say to that? We're like, but, you
so
know,
then,
that's a
so
nice...
then where we live must be a fucking...
Yeah, I live in a tiny apartment. Yeah. I love my tin can. But she was...
Which has been minimalized thanks to the awesome...
Marie Kondo. Yeah, I KonMari'd the shit out of my room. So it's a little bit more spacious. No, but for real, that's the kind of BS I'm talking about. It's like not even relevant. Like, I'm just talking about moving. I'm not talking about my home size. I'm not talking about what. I'm just like, I'm finally moving from neighborhood A to neighborhood B. And she's like, my mom said, like, my shithole home, 1,000 square feet, blah, blah, blah.
What a biatch.
What a biatch.
Yeah. No one wants to hear that.
I know, I called her my friend. She's actually not really my friend, clearly. But she's just in, she's like, you know.
In your circle that you meet.
Not, I don't even want to say my circle, but, you know, somebody else's circle that sometimes merges.
Ouch.
Sometimes merges.
Burn.
With my, no, we all know people like that. Acquaintances, pretty Ooh, much.
That's a good word. Acquaintances.
Yeah. But, okay, what's your story?
Well, for me, smelling bullshit, I think I have a kind of different definition about smelling bullshit. Well, I have a similar car story where a guy... complained about him not being able to get his driver's license because he doesn't have a car that he can learn on because his dad's car is too good.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's just the quick story there. But for me, bullshit flexing has to do with flexing about how much money you have when you don't really have that much money. Like, yeah, you may be mm-hmm. well off, but comparatively to, like, actual rich people, you aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So you might say upper middle class.
Upper
middle class. No. Yeah.
It sounds so much cuter and endearing that way.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I think that's a really good definition. I think my definition of bullshit humble flexing. Wow, I can't talk today. Is
upper middle class? Well, I'll tell you why Shin's talking like that. He got shit faced last night.
No, I didn't.
You said you did.
Yes, but our viewers don't
even
know that, Hashmama.
That's true.
Well, it's too late.
Snitches get stitches.
Well, at least I'm not recovering from heroin.
What?
So, cat's out of the bag, Hashmama.
I fucking hate you.
Upper middle class people that
Very
brag
good.
About having money. I think is bullshit because they're not actually rich. Like, yeah, you're well off, but you're not actually rich. And this is especially true when you come from the West, where there are a lot of upper middle class people, and doesn't mean you're rich. And I think it's kind of new money, especially in Korea. Upper middle class is new money. And uh-huh. When they blatantly brag about things that aren't that impressive, I think it's bullshit.
I actually... kind of disagree with you there because mm-hmm. I feel like whether you're new money or upper middle class or upper middle class or not.
There's a difference. Upper's one step higher.
Yeah. So I feel like, yeah, you can maybe talk about your money or you can talk about your financial status, whatever. That's fine. But I only think it's bullshit when you're doing it in a way that shades other people. Like, I have a really good example of this.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I had this one friend in college. He was like, first of all, we weren't even close. And this kid did not even know what my financial background was. But I guess in his brain, because we were all hanging out in a Starbucks, that meant, you know, we were of the same financial status.
See, that's what I mean is bullshit. Because he thinks or she thinks that's kind of cool. And I'm like, yo, this isn't cool. Like, this is nothing to brag about. And yet you think it is.
No, but let me explain.
All right.
So he was like, oh, I'm so glad we're hanging out and we're doing this and blah, blah, blah. Because I feel like I can't hang out with people that are beneath my social class. And then that's when I was like, wait, what? And he was like, yeah, I feel like, you know, after when you want to really hang out and have fun and spend money freely, you need to meet friends from similar social backgrounds, like socioeconomic backgrounds. And I'm like, actually, I don't even know your socioeconomic background and you don't know mine. And he was like, no, I'm just assuming based on what I've seen that we can all afford the same things. And therefore, I can't.
What a dick.
And he was like, I can't hang out with broke people. I hate broke people. And I never hung out with that kid again because I was just like, that is bullshit.
That is bullshit.
The fucked up thing is when he was saying that, the other people were like, yeah, I know what you mean. And I'm like, okay, bitch, just because we're hanging out at the Starbucks and that, you know what? That's bullshit flexing, I feel like. Because
So you're saying that you don't think he has money?
No, it's not that. Like, you can have money, but I hate it when people flex about their status while they're looking down on people that they feel like are not up to standard. That's for me, is bullshit. Because you can be new money and you can be upper middle class and, you know, really be super comfortable and you can talk about it, right? But the minute you flex about it in a way that shits on other people, I'm like, that's bullshit.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. So it's like, it's more like the flex that you think is like decent and not decent. Yeah, same for me. For me, definitely shitting on other people is definitely a flex that I think is bullshit. And also, I think flexing that isn't actually impressive to me is bullshit.
I think
that's like where we have little bit of a difference.
No, but I get that.
Yeah. So if they flex about something that I think isn't actually impressive, that for me is bullshit.
That makes sense. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point because I remember this one girl that I knew, me and my really good friend, we were talking and I was like, oh, I really want to try working as a barista. That'd be so cool. And my friend was like, yeah, me too. And this girl goes like, and we were in college and she was like, do you need a part-time job? Because doesn't that mean you're poor? She really said that.
Right.
She really actually said that. So I was like, I don't think that necessarily means you're poor. But personally, I think I've always wanted to learn how to make coffee. And my friend said the same thing. And she was like, well, I don't know. I don't ever want to learn other things because I don't need to because I have the money. And then at this point, so clearly this girl wasn't a close friend of ours, but I was super close with the other girl who wanted to, you know, learn how to make coffee. And then this girl goes on. She was like, yeah, even in high school, I went to a super rich, like, international school. And the tuition was $6,000 a year.
That's unnecessary information.
Yeah, exactly. And then this is when we started laughing because we grew up in Hong Kong and we were like, and then this is kind of bitchy of me and I shouldn't have stooped down to her level, but we were like, $6,000 a year is really cheap for a really good international school.
Yeah.
And she was just like, what? No, it's super expensive. And we were like, No, that's really cheap. Good for your parents sending you to... And we were just being really bitchy about it, but then...
But she brought it up first. She was the bitch first. So if you want to flex...
But she did it first.
If you want to flex, we can flex.
Well, but anyways, fast forward to the summer. We go to this Chinese restaurant. I still remember it's called Hunan. Uh-huh. Really good food. Me and the same friend, we walk in and lo and behold, there she is manning the cashier. We're like... Girl, what are you doing here?
So embarrassing.
Yo, it was so funny.
Oh my God.
I was like, what are you doing here? I thought only poor people.
Did you actually say that?
I did.
Whoa.
I straight up did.
Hush Mama is savage.
And you know what she did? She ran.
Savage.
She was just like, no, I just wanted, and then she like ran behind the counter.
No.
You know what? That girl was wealthy. She did have a lot of money, and I think she truly meant it when she said only poor people were. But it's just...
Well, what was she doing?
Karma was a fucking bitch. I don't know what she was doing. Maybe daddy cut her off. I don't know. She's the type of girl that would shit on girls who didn't carry designer bags. So for me, I was like, kind of, you know, justified
in
being...
She did kind of deserve it.
Yeah. The only reason I hung out with her because she was the girlfriend of one of my guy best friends.
Uh-huh.
So I had to, you know... hold conversations with her here and there, but anyways,
so then I think we can divide kind of, there's two categories underneath flexing, which is money, and then there's class. Of course,
there's also education.
Yeah, so I think education falls under class.
Oh, true.
So if you have a lot of money, oftentimes you can have class, but it does. You don't necessarily need money to also have class. I think that's kind of like my Western perspective.
Yeah, I agree.
And so for me, flexing that I would acknowledge as being kind of legit, I think it's more leans more towards class.
Yo,
than money.
You know what is another big like flexing thing here in Korea?
What?
Neighborhoods.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it's very, very casual to ask someone where they live, right?
Yeah.
Because, yeah. So it's like, where do you live? And like, oh, I live in this neighborhood. And it's like, oh, he's fucking poor.
Yeah. No, but that's actually what people think. So this is another story I have. Again, from college.
Okay.
I went to a big school. So there were equal parts shitty people and equal parts awesome people.
And you were clearly part of the awesome group.
Obviously, that goes without saying. No, but this
That's
actually happened at church. So I went to a Korean church, being the good Christian girl that I am.
Recovering from heroin.
Shut the fuck up.
All right.
No, so I... God, you keep on throwing me off with that. No, so it was this big special thing because it was a Korean church. And the pastor basically... we all had different youth groups. Mm-hmm. It was a big church, so I think there was like 15 groups. And each group had like 10 people. But anyways, he invited each group throughout the year to his home so he can give us home-cooked Korean meals. And obviously, as we were college kids in
Oh, I know
in
how
a
that
foreign
feels.
You,
I know. That.
You
I would, went to the Korean church to get the Korean food.
Yo, that was where
That's
it was
where it's
at.
Everyone knows what it, everyone knows. Even, you know, people who don't go to church went
yeah,
to the Korean
went
churches
for
the home-cooked Korean
exactly.
meals. Everyone knows
so
what
you know what's up.
About. Oh, yeah.
So we went, and the pastor goes around the table talking about, okay, so I know you guys are all, you know, you guys are all Koreans. Where do you live? And he was straight up asking everyone's neighborhoods. And at first I didn't think much of it. You know, you can be curious.
Yeah.
But then this is how the conversation went. So it's like, for example, Shin, where do you live? Uh-huh. It's like, oh, I live in Wangsimni. He'd be like, oh, yeah, next.
What a dick.
Literally, he would say that.
By the way, Wangsimni is coming up. Oh, there's like some big apartments being built there now. Right
along
the Han
River. There's a cute little mall there too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just happens to be a college town.
It is.
Yeah.
And there's, yeah, okay.
So, and then he moves on to this other guy and he was like, okay, what about you? And he's like, and you can tell he was visibly uncomfortable. Like he was the type of guy that knew that his neighborhood would be immediately like a brag. So yeah. He was like, I live in Seoul. He's like, okay, I know you live in Seoul. Where in Seoul? And he was like, and he was so careful. It was kind of cute how careful he was. He was like, Gangnam. And he was like, oh, Gangnam. Gangnam.
Oh!
He was like, oh.
Oh, my God.
No, he was like, where in Gangnam? And he was so uncomfortable. He was like, it's like, where in Gangnam? Just say it, spit it out. And he was like, Cheongdam. And he was like, oh, Cheongdam. Okay, answer me this. Can you see the Han River from your house? And he was like, yes. And he was like, you are going to be paying a lot of money at church now.
What?
I shit you not. He did. And then he moved on and like similar things happened. But the thing is, he was like shitting on people low key, like the Wangsimni girl. It was like, oh, Wangsimni? Oh, okay,
Wangsimni
next.
Girl.
Next. And he just kept on doing that. And then finally he got to me. I was like, I don't live in Korea. I live in Hong Kong. He's like, that's considered rich. Next. And I'm just like, what the fuck? And honestly, I'm not saying that. I know this makes pastors look bad. Obviously, they're not. He was just a terrible person.
That's obnoxious.
So obviously, after that night, I never went to that church again. I was just like, that is not Jesus-like. Bye.
This is not what Jesus would have done.
Exactly. Bye.
Jesus hangs out with the poor people.
Thank you, next.
But that guy that was, you know, very uncomfortable about talking about how he lives in Cheongdam, for me, that's like, Injung, like, oh, like, that's a guy that's classy.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, maybe he does have money.
I did.
And he lives in a good place in Cheongdam, like, and he's shy to talk about it. For me, I would be like, oh, this guy probably really does have money.
Yeah. And he was probably brought up by his parents to be like, never show off about it.
Which is classy.
I think that's classy.
It is.
But I do talk about it. I did have this conversation with my wealthier friends, and they did share that sometimes it's really uncomfortable for them because they can't relate to some other, like, especially in college, you know, everyone's like, oh my God, I'm a broke college student. And they were saying how they couldn't relate.
That makes
sense. But then that makes them look like assholes when they say that. So they're like, sometimes it's really uncomfortable for us when we can't share because it looks like we're showing off. And I'm like, that sucks for you too. Like, first world problems.
First world problems.
For sure.
Yeah.
But also, that sucks.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that's why I think, huh?
I was there.
You were there.
I'm just kidding. Wait,
oh, okay. I got it. Sorry. I'm a bit slow today. But,
it's hard to relate sometimes if you have so much money and you don't know what to do with it.
True, true. What other flexes are there?
You can flex depending on where you hang out. You can flex depending on what you wear.
And where you party.
Where you party.
That's so true.
So if you want to impress somebody, what would you say, Hush Mama?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't...
For me, it's about trendy, not upscale. Like that. See, this is another thing where I judge based on classiness rather than money. So
I know.
For me, I think flexing about trendy places are cool.
Shit,
not
I know how you humble brag. That's exactly how you flex. You're like, oh, that place is overrated.
Yeah.
You're like a
hipster. It could be hipster.
You're a hipster flexer.
Okay. I admit it.
The other day after recording, he was like, I know the best little bar there is. Nobody knows where it is. It doesn't have a sign outside. It's like,
you know,
a speakeasy that's not a speakeasy.
When it doesn't have,
and they give
sign.
You water in those fancy whiskey bottles.
Yeah, it's
that
crystal.
Was pretty cool. I was impressed. But he was like, oh, I don't want to go, because I was like, oh yeah, we should get a drink. He's like, I don't just go to any.
Okay, you're any making drink. Me sound like a total douchebag, but that is what I think is kind of important. Is going to a nice place rather than an expensive place. And if you can go to a nice place that is also expensive, then that's obviously the highest tier, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So how about you?
How about me what?
What do you think's awesome? What do you think's... How would you flex location or where you party?
Well, I don't do this personally, but I've had conversations with people where they're like, oh, okay,
she does
so
do
where
it.
Do you... No, but like, where do you party, for example?
Uh-huh.
And... As an Itaewon, like a Itaewon resident.
Yeah, you don't acknowledge anything outside of Itaewon.
That's
location flex.
Is it though?
Yes.
Not really. No, so I live in Yeongsan-gu, aka the Yeongsan-gu.
The center
gang.
Of the universe.
It is.
Where the only things that matter are in it.
Don't call me outside of Yeongsan-gu. Like, I'm not leaving. Except to come here to record. But anyways... So I would be like, yeah, I go out in Itaewon or some, you know, Gyeongnidang-gil or Haebangchun, like around the area. And then people would be like, oh, I hate that. It's so ghetto.
And then you instantly unfriend them.
Yeah, mentally I'm like, bye. No, like, for example, I mean, you cannot like partying in some places, but it's the way you do it. This goes back to how, like, you're kind of flexing about yourself while shading others. I think that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, you could clearly say, oh, I don't really like Itaewon and move on. But then these people are like, oh, I hate Itaewon. It's so ghetto and dirty. I only party in Cheongdam or Apgujeong.
I really don't acknowledge those flexes. When people flex about only
like,
playing in Gangnam area,
yeah,
it's not impressive to me
and
at
like,
all.
Bitch, you live in Ilsan? You live like 2 hours away from those places and you're like, I only party in Cheongdam. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Yeah, they've watched too many dramas.
Yeah, they watch too many dramas. I'm like, I'm not going to drop like $40 on a drink.
Which doesn't taste good.
Yeah, the alcohol's weak. If it was really strong, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I still do go out in those Gangnam areas sometimes. Because yeah.
there are really nice places in Cheongdam and Gangnam and Apgujeong, whatever.
It's just that, you know.
But if you only hang out in that area, you're not cool.
Yeah, I think so. There are so many other...
We don't think you're cool.
There's so many other cool places to check out.
So many cool places.
Also, I think places like bars, clubs, lounges are lame if people are just standing around.
What do you mean just standing around?
Like, not standing around talking, but like there's clearly a dance floor and everyone's just like
That's the
standing.
The what's that big club in Apgujeong?
Which one?
Come on, it's like the biggest, the most famous, like common one.
Which
where people go just to show off their house.
Arena?
No. It's the other one. Give me some other
one. Octagon?
Octagon, exactly. Oh. Like, okay, yes, there are people dancing, but there are so many like tables at Octagon and people are just there to like show
stand.
Off what they're wearing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Stand, chit-chat.
That's true. Yeah, I think that's lame.
Like, people aren't there to listen to the music. They're not there to have fun. They're there to freaking show off.
Yeah, or like, oh, what kind of drink do you like? Oh, I just, you know, like, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. For example, I like drinking gin tonics or Long Islands. And then... Or I've had conversations with people who are like, I only drink champagne. And I'm like, okay, I like champagne too. I don't exclusively drink champagne. It's like, I think all of their drinks are shitty except for champagne. So like, if a guy buys me a drink, oh, this makes girls look bad. But obviously not all girls do that. It's just this one girl
And I'm sure there are guys that do that too.
Yeah, for sure. Like, whatever fancy ass guy drink there is.
Yeah, and again, this I think is the difference between old and new money. This is just my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
If you are old money, you're not going to just drink champagne. The reason why people say that, oh, I only drink champagne is because
what they assume sounds like.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or their life has upgraded to a point where now they can afford champagne and they only drink champagne now.
Yeah.
If you always had money, if your family has a good background, I'm sorry, you've had some single malt scotch whiskey, you've had some good
this
IPAs.
This is low-key, you know, flexing about his knowledge of alcohol.
I'm a hipster.
Okay, what does your Tinder bio say? Do you mention your love of cool alcohol?
Yes.
Types?
Both expensive and cheap. I showed you my Tinder profile.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
You should read it out loud sometime.
Maybe. Maybe, but not today.
Okay, not today. Moving on.
So moving on. One thing I'd like to talk about, though, is why is money so important in Korea? Let me rephrase that. Money is important everywhere, but why is it so important to talk about it and to acknowledge it and to kind of gauge each other? I think it's because there is a lot less opportunities to move vertically from your economic status in Asia as it is in the West.
That's true. You call it 취집. So what that word means is getting married as a career.
Right. Getting married to someone who can give you a better financial backing.
It's basically moving up.
Exactly.
Through marriage.
Exactly. And that's why...
That's a very real thing here.
People are very picky about who they marry is because it's probably one of the last realistic chances you're going to get unless you like succeed massively in your business to change your socioeconomic status.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
There are three in Korea, I think. First is the family that you're born into. Mm-hmm. Second is the college that you go to. Third is your career path. And then the fourth is marriage. Like, if you don't upgrade your social economic background in one of those stages...
It's really hard in Korea.
It is very
hard.
Unless
you win the lottery.
Yeah. So...
But I mean, I feel like the marriage thing goes both for guys and girls. Like,
exactly.
For sure.
And so people might say, oh, why is not just Korea, like East Asia in general, why are they so concerned about, you know, marrying rich people or blah, blah, blah?
Did you know?
I think it's legit.
Did you know that? Okay, so I used to be a personal finance blogger, so I was really interested.
Humble flex alert.
No, I just wanted to talk about the background and why I know these random things, not because I want to preface because I'm not marriage crazy, but I mean, you can be, but it's just, you know, I was creating this chart for one of my blog posts where it was like, what is the average spending for a wedding? And in the States, it was like around $30,000 for a single wedding. And I was like, oh shit, that's high. And then I looked at the Korean one and it was like 45.
Shit, I just dropped something. Sorry.
That's fine. It's $45,000. Alcoholic bottle. Like,
it was sparkling water.
Yeah. Whatever. But yeah, and I was like, okay, clearly the amount you earn in Korea is less. Why are people spending so much on weddings? It's because they are flexing.
Yeah.
It's one of the only times where you have to flex on such a large scale, like in Korean culture. I have a bunch of friends getting married this year. And basically, I feel bad because they're like, this is, they want this kind of wedding, but then their parents from both sides are like, no, we gotta flex. This is where we gotta flex. We're gonna get the best wedding halls. You're gonna wear this kind of dress, and I don't know. And to me, I was like, I feel like that's kind of messed up because this is supposed to be a celebration of the union of two lovers, but then now it's become a thing where it's like, this is how our family flexes. We're going to invite 700 people.
So I would agree that marriage should be about, or the wedding should be about the union of two peoples. But I also kind of am sympathetic to the Korean parents. I think we've talked about this before, because if in a traditional Korean society, the parents have provided everything for their children from childhood up until college and supported them up until, you know, they get a job and even afterwards, up until marriage. Mm-hmm. Marriage or the wedding is how they send their kids off. And in that scenario, the wedding is, yes, a union of the two couples, but also parents sending their kids away.
And it's a great way for them to flex.
Yeah, and it's the biggest flexing event of the year.
Of their lifetime.
Yeah, so I do think that the concept of a Western wedding and a Korean wedding is different because it should be a lot about the parents.
I get it. I think that's why I can't understand it, because that's never, I think I grew up not thinking of it that way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this one person I know, should I even, I'll just say it.
Just call her out right now. What's her name?
Shut up. It's the same girl that set the whole G-Wagon thing. But
all right.
Basically,
Soojin, this is about you.
Suji Buji.
All right, Suji, this is about you.
I'm just kidding. Her name is not that, but let's just call it that. So she was like, oh my God, I need to get married, but I need to have a cheap wedding because my husband's side is not as well off. And I'm like, first of all, this wasn't even relevant to whatever we were talking about, but we're like, oh, okay. She's like, we can only...
Again, unrelated.
Yeah, unrelated. Again, I think I was probably talking about lunch or something. And then she was like...
Talking about your toenail fungus. And then she's like...
Can you shut the fuck up?
And then she's like, oh my God, my husband's not as rich as me.
No, and then she was like, oh, this wedding's only going to be... So we decided to only spend $300,000 each.
What the...
I was like, the fuck? And I was like, wow, that's actually a lot. And she was like, no, it's so little. And honestly, I just feel a little bit embarrassed.
I don't think even rich people spend that much money. That's $600,000.
No, so I was like, that's actually insane. Why would you spend that much on a single wedding? Are you including the cost of housing? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, oh.
Oh, then, okay. What?
Okay.
That's not a flex at all.
I don't even... No, I mean, that's still...
Your apartments start at like $500,000.
No, she didn't... Oh, whatever. Anyways, I was like, okay. She's like, oh, I wanted to get married in this insert super expensive high-rise building and smack in the middle of Seoul. And she's like, I wanted to get married there, but then the hall was too big and I'm going to be so tired walking in my heels.
Walking down the aisle.
Yeah, walking down the aisle. The aisle is so long. It's like a 10-minute walk. I'm like... What?
You know what she should have used? A hoverboard.
Ooh, that's how you walk down the aisle in style, my friend.
And just wipe out on your face.
Wait, what?
Well, would you actually do that?
The hoverboard, maybe. I've actually, fun fact, never ridden a hoverboard.
Yeah.
And I'm terrible at balancing.
Probably not a good idea then.
But I think I would practice if it means I get to walk down the aisle.
Would you be
in that kind of style? Oh man, I'm killing it with the rhymes today.
Would you be okay with a very obnoxious wedding?
If it was
an
obnoxious,
unconventional, obnoxious wedding,
I think I would be all for it if it was my kind of obnoxious.
Let me change the word. Would you be down for an extra wedding?
Oh,
very extra.
Faux show. I'm such an extra ass person. So, but it just has to be me. Like,
it's
I wouldn't
all about
go.
You.
I wouldn't go. No, I mean, it has to be like what I like. You know
right.
what I mean? I wouldn't go for this extra thing where it's not me at all. Like, I want people, if I throw a wedding, it's pretty much just going to be a party for my friends. And I want it to be like, oh, okay, this is very Annam. And whoever my future husband's going to be.
Looking forward to it.
I'm hoping he's, you know, as extra as me. So,
you need
should be
an...
fun.
Life partner that's just as extra as you are,
if not more. Yes.
Would you be able to handle more than you though?
Yeah, I think so.
That's quite extra.
Okay. Okay.
Like your kids would be.
We will see.
Okay.
So, I mean, we covered a lot. I mean, it ended up just being like my personal bitching session about this one girl that I know.
But talking about you, Suji.
Suji Boogie.
But I think it was good. We talked. Also, we kind of want to make this into a series, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Because today, you know, we kind of blabbled about just random things, but there are so many things we can talk about, and there are so many things that we can get really into detail about mm-hmm. humble flexing.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, weddings. We can have a whole episode mm-hmm. about weddings.
We probably won't.
We could. Or cars, fashion, location, jobs,
so stay
friends.
Stay tuned, my friends.
So stay tuned. We're going to have lots more coming.
Okay, we're done for today, so.
Yeah, let's fucking peace out.
Bye.
Peace.